Now joining us is Dr. Leah McNeil, who is our naturopathic doctor. And today we're going to be chatting about pediatric care. So good morning, Dr. Leah.
Good morning.
This is a very important subject. And what I really wanted to let everyone know is that, of course, everyone here that listens to the show knows I have a five-year-old grandson. I talk about him all the time. And he was having some breakouts, like they would be like little bumps, and I keep taking him to the doctor, and they would give me these, you know, same old excuses, and I was taking him to a pediatrician, and I was just concerned, and so of course I took him in to see you, and what I found to be so wonderful was, first of all, you spent a full hour with us, and I'll tell you, that's rare in itself, and he loved you. He said afterward, he said, can I go back to that doctor? So, you know, you made him feel really comfortable, and while you were, you know, testing and listening and doing all the things, he was never bothered. So I just want you to know how much I appreciate you, and I want people to understand that that's available for them. So let's talk about what drew you to pediatrics in the first place. Why did you want to practice that?
Well, actually, I always wanted to practice with kids somehow. Mm-hmm. And I started out in studying child psychology. That kind of wasn't enough, I guess, in a lot of ways. I wanted to do more with that. And so I found out about Bastyr and became a family practice physician. But I also was a midwife for several years. So the ability to be able to deliver the babies and then do the care afterwards was just fantastic.
Oh, I imagine.
I mean, I stopped doing midwifery because after I had my son, it was just too many hours, and mm-hmm. I wanted to be able to spend more time, regular time, in the office, not just always being gone.
Right.
So I continued on the pediatric care, and it's just such an important part of not only medicine in general, but naturopathic medicine, because we want to prevent disease from happening, not only in adults, but in kids.
Mm-hmm.
We can start young, setting up a trend of good health in kids, then they're going to have that generation is going to have a much healthier older life.
Well, and we know right now that we have obesity rates that so high in children, and we have a lot of diseases that they never had before.
Yeah.
And we were talking earlier with Margaret about how ADD and ADHD is rampant. We didn't know about that before. And I believe a lot of this is our diet, our, you know, what we're doing, because kids don't go outside and play anymore. You know, they play these computer games. So life has changed a lot. And so I think it's really important to be on top of this. So tell me, you know, when do you start seeing your pediatric clients, and what age are they considered a client?
Yes, that's a great question, because as naturopaths, we can see kids from 1 week old.
Oh, you can?
You know, or from birth, basically,
you can.
On.
Okay.
And I don't know, a lot of naturopaths don't always choose to do pediatric care, but because I was a midwife, I do a lot of it. I did a lot as a midwife. I have started seeing kids at 24 hours, like they come in right away afterwards.
Right.
Well, not, I should say 24 hours, you know, within that first couple days.
Right.
But I mostly start probably seeing them at 1 week.
Okay.
And then there's quite a lot of visits in the first year.
Right.
As you can imagine, 1 week, 3 weeks, six
right.
weeks, 3 months, you know, there's a certain schedule.
Right.
Of keeping up. And then kids are considered in pediatric care until they're 18.
That's what I thought, right. You know,
which
it sounds
odd,
so funny.
You know?
Yeah, I
kids
know.
Kids are like, I don't want to be, I'm not a pediatric.
Right.
But legally, legally that kid's chart is considered pediatric until they are legal at 18.
Well, what I want to ask you is, how are you different than if I'm going to go to a pediatrician? What are you, because I think that as somebody listening, I'd go, okay, well, there's, you know, the naturopathic way, and then there's, you know, so kind of Eastern Western. So what do you feel that you offer different than what a pediatrician would offer, or is it the same?
Well, actually, there is a lot of similarities. Probably one of the bigger differences, I guess, would be I don't automatically assume that my clients are going to want to do vaccinations.
Okay.
And that's, you know, it's not that I don't offer them, but I make sure that the parents are fully informed on what the vaccination options are.
Okay.
And I'm not totally against them, personally. I mean, I just, they're there, and they're safer than they used to be, but I honestly do think we over-vaccinate our kids. So that's one thing. The other thing is the nutrition aspect. I focus a lot on the moms and dads as well and check on how they're doing. Sometimes I'll do the mom visit at the same time, especially in those early months
of
baby years.
Right.
Of baby life, I should say. I guess sometimes I do blood draws earlier because I think I see a lot of low vitamin D in kids. And some anemias. I've actually been surprised. I've seen a few kids recently that have been anemic that are 5 and 6.
Really?
And it's not severe, but it's enough that it can affect their learning and it affects their, they're fatigued and they run out of breath easier, you know, that kind of thing.
Really?
Yeah, and I have been a little surprised with that.
What do you think is causing children of that young of age to be anemic?
Well, it could be just as basic as their nutrition. No, they're not getting, and kids are picky eaters. I have a picky eater myself.
My grandson's a real picky eater.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And now just getting them on a good multivitamin could correct that. And I do counsel parents on some good multivitamins that are chewable or are little tiny capsules that they could take. And this whole fear a lot of parents have that, oh, they can't swallow a pill. I'm like, if they can swallow a great big bite of pancakes, they can swallow a pill. I mean, it's like the pill is this little thing.
Well, it's not always that they can't. They don't always won't is the struggle I found.
Right. I mean, I try and tell parents, you know, put it in the food, not put it in the food. Like if the kid's chewing up a bite of food, have them put the capsule or the tablet or whatever in the food right before they swallow it.
Right, and then they don't even notice it.
Yeah, it and it's all down. Mixed in there, and honestly, it has a lot to do with the parents' perception of pills, and, you know, it's scary or whatever. I mean, it's totally, the kids are going to feed off of that.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's exactly, and then also, a lot of times they start with the chewables, and so then, you know, it's like if you started them as young as you can, swallowing, then they won't even think about it being anything different.
Right, right.
Okay.
So the nutrition aspect, I do like to spend a lot more time with not just the kids, but with the family. How's the rest of the family doing? And I guess I love kids so much. I'll get down on the floor with them.
Yes,
and,
you do.
You know, I'll do an exam if they're playing on the floor. I'm like, hey, let me look in your ear and see if I can see your other ear, you know? And I know a lot of pediatricians do that too, but I also know they're more pressed for time and they are back to back to back to back. I tend to have a practice that I have allowed myself to spend more time with patients. Instead of 20-minute visits, I tend to do 30 to 40-minute visits as my shortest.
Well, when I brought Andreas in, you looked in his ears and you said there's some redness, which means it was starting to be an ear infection, and you recommended a natural remedy, and I'm going to tell you, he never got an ear infection.
Yeah.
We went and got that natural remedy. It was some kind of oil. I can't remember what it is you gave or told
drops,
me.
Yeah.
The drops, and it was, and so now it's like, because what was happening is he was getting them all the time, and then they put him on an antibiotic. So then, you know how we all know being on antibiotics over and over and over again is not good.
Right.
For an ear infection. So it was so nice to have just a natural way to solve that problem. So now what herbal medications do you use on kids?
There's actually a lot of really good tasty ones, I should say. I tend to like to use drops in kids, just like a lot of, you know, a lot of antibiotics and other medicines are given in drops for kids. But there are some herbal, like Thymactive is one of my favorite. It's an herbal that has echinacea and thymus and some other things that are just in water, or they're homeopathic. So the kids don't, there's not really a taste to them at all.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's other herbs and they're disguised well with natural grape flavoring or something. So there's a lot of good echinaceas, golden seals, astragalus, different types of herbs that are great for kids, for immune system.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really any liquid vitamins that taste very good.
No, I can't.
At all.
Uh-uh.
But there are a lot of herbal different remedies. Homeopathics are used a lot in kids, and homeopathics are very safe. There's no side effects. You can take them with other medicines. They're not going to interact. It's one of those type of medicines that it's going to work or it's going to not. There's no real in-between where it just sort of works. And those are used for everything from flus, ear infections, colds, insomnia, a whole bunch of things. So, and those are some favorites to use with NaturePath. I guess because we have so many different abilities to use other things besides just antibiotics.
Right.
And other drugs, that there's a lot more options for parents. Now, I have several patients that have a pediatrician that they get their vaccines from. They're getting, they have like a modified schedule that they're doing with their pediatrician. And then they come to me for other well child visits and other checkups.
Okay.
You know, so that's not uncommon, and that's just the safe route for some people.
But you do give the shots, the vaccinations, though, as well.
I will do some. It's more expensive because I don't do it through the health department.
Okay.
I'm not signed up with the health department. I could be, but I don't give enough vaccines to do that.
Well, I know that's always a struggle for people to decide, mothers and fathers, because of all of the information out there now about different diseases that they think are being caused from these vaccinations. But also, if you don't give it, then, you know, we're also hearing that then there are diseases that these children are prone to get. So it is really a dilemma, Dr. Leah, which way to go?
It's a dilemma, and the majority of people do not have a problem. I honestly will say I'm not totally convinced that certain diseases are caused just from vaccines.
Right.
I think that our immune system and our body and our genetics might set us up for developing certain diseases or disorders if they're activated by something. They were activated by the vaccine.
Right.
And that's true for any autoimmune disease that people have that could just show up. One day, you don't just all of a sudden get MS, or you don't just all of a sudden get some disease.
Exactly.
It's kind of turned on by something. And I think vaccines can do that in certain kids.
That's what's causing it.
I mean, I was one of those, I guess, unfortunate kids when I was a baby that had a reaction to a vaccine. And that reaction led me to have encephalitis and epilepsy.
Throughout most of my life. That's where the fear is. Of course you think, well, my child could be that, whatever it is, 2% or whatever the percentage is that my child could be. Well, let's talk a little bit more about this, but we do need to take a quick break. And we want to talk about, when we come back, let's talk about the obesity in kids and what we can do about that. So this is Chat with Women. We're talking to Dr. Leah McNeil. We'll be right back.
Concerned about the toxins found in personal care items, including skincare products we use daily? Toxic chemicals linked to cancer, birth defects, and learning disabilities do not belong in the products we use on our bodies. Zango, a company that is well known and respected for unparalleled nutrition, now introduces Zango's new skin nutrition systems. Glimpse Intuitive Skincare, free from harmful ingredients. Glimpse reinforces your skin with the natural power from mangosteen and other pure and safe botanicals. Glimpse offers breakthrough green chemistry, advanced skin nutrition technology. Glimpse is clean, green, and simple skin nutrition. The first performance-based skin nutrition system ever created. A glimpse into the future of skincare. Call Weldon Sperry at 425-637-7786 or visit his website at mymangosteen.com/WJ Sperry to learn more about Glimpse Intuitive Skincare. Call 425-637-7786 or visit mymangosteen.com/WJ Sperry. You'll be glad you did.
Hi, this is Chat with Women, and I'm Pam.
And I'm Rochelle.
Now, you're probably wondering, what's Chat with Women, and who's Pam and Rochelle?
We are a radio show and a website. We are here to build a community for women and the men who love them, who want to learn, grow, change their lives, and have some fun.
Would you like to reach successful, motivated, and empowered women in the Puget Sound region and worldwide on the Internet? Email us, info@chatwithwomen.com.
Thanks for joining us.
Just delicious foods. Say no more. All healthy, no salt, no sugar, no MSG soup mixes. Not your everyday soup mix. A comfort food for this time of the year. Comfort with great taste. Visit the website justdelicious.net and place your order today. They make Christmas easy for you. Just send them your Christmas list and they'll send your present all wrapped up with your own personal message. Again, justdelicious.net.
1150kknw.com. It's why they invented the internet. We think. Alternative Talk, 11:50 a.m.
It's a better world for them. I think they can make it a better place.
Welcome back. You're listening to Chat with Women, and I'm Pam, and Rochelle is not here today. She's on special assignment. So now we're talking to Dr. Leah McNeil, who's a naturopathic doctor, who's a regular contributor on Chat with Women, and we're talking about pediatric care today, and it's such an important subject. And before we went to break, I said, let's talk about obesity in children and what can we do to help our children that are tending to be overweight, you know, and even starting to be at 3 years old, 4 years old. What's happening, Dr. Lee, and what can we do?
Obesity is leveling out, actually.
Oh, good.
A little bit. Some of the recent studies have shown that it's starting to kind of level out, not just keep climbing. But in order for it to level out, it's got to kind of stay. You still have fluctuations. Like you're having an increase in childhood obesity and maybe a little bit of decrease in adult obesity, but it kind of keeps it at that same level.
Mm-hmm.
And children, having these children be so overweight is going to affect them so dramatically in their adult lives. They're already showing diabetes and high blood pressure and high cholesterol.
Oh,
and
no.
That's ridiculous.
I know.
The fast food industry and soda pop and not having PE anymore in school.
I know.
I mean, that's like they have it once a week. I remember having it every day.
They only have it, my grandson has it every Tuesday, and that's it.
That's
at 5 years old, and you know how they need to run.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so those are some of like the basic things, but
mm-hmm.
our nutrient issues
mm-hmm.
are also really big, because this generation is some of the first kids to really have the impact of all the boxed foods, the mm-hmm. additives,
yes.
the lack of constant fresh food that we used to have a lot more of when we were growing up. So the MSG, the red dye number 4, you know, those kind of things have also shown an impact in autism, ADHD, ADD. Those are definitely affect, those kind of additives definitely affect those behaviors.
Do you know there's still MSG in a lot of foods?
Mm-hmm.
I have a reaction to MSG. I get headaches. If I go to, let's go to a Chinese restaurant, let's say, I'll ask, and they'll point to you that a lot of the food on the menu does have MSG.
Yeah.
And so it's not like, you would think Chinese, it's all fresh, right? It's fresh vegetables. They use it for preservants.
And actually what's unfortunate is they can say that they don't have MSG, and they can say that if they don't add it to the food. But if it
right.
already came in
right.
the food,
mm-hmm.
they can say they don't have any.
That's right. That's even scarier, isn't it?
And MSG is disguised. Certain things like if you say maltodextrin
mm-hmm.
or natural flavor or the hydrolyzed proteins,
mm-hmm.
those will convert to MSG quite quickly. So you don't just see, you don't have to look for just MSG on the label or monosodium glutamate. You can see other things that are also considered MSG.
Oh, so the foods we want to stay away from for sure, obviously, colored dyes and MSG and, in my opinion, adding salt and, you know, the sodium. But is there anything else? Obviously, we all hear sugar. It's really hard with children because that's their favorite, cookies, ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you recommend that the parents do in that arena?
The biggest issue, I think, that one of the biggest issues a lot of parents are having is the liquids that their kids are having.
Mm, the Coke, you mean?
The Cokes, the sodas, I mean.
What about apple juice?
Well, juices are okay, but I do think that they're given a lot, too much.
Oh, they are, they're given
because
a lot.
Because some of those kind of things also have high fructose corn syrup.
Right.
And what happened to just apple juice, or just orange juice, or just those kind of juices that were fresh squeezed, and
right.
they're preserved with things or have a little extra added color to make them look better. And that's the problem. It's not the juice itself,
right.
which is true for a lot of different things. It's like it's not just the food itself, it's all the stuff they add to it.
Right.
And if we could just get our kids to drink more water or teas. I actually have my son drinking tea in the morning.
Herbal tea?
It's an herbal iced tea. It's like celestial seasonings, mm-hmm. raspberry or wild berry, and I just put it in a bunch of water and stick it in the fridge. And that's his drink.
Well, I think water is so brilliant because I've done that with my grandson. We give him water all the time. And, you know, apple juice is more of a you know, treat.
Yeah.
And then we try to get him, obviously, to drink milk with meals. And then, yet sometimes what you'd said to me for Andreas with his ear infections is, you know, maybe you should get away from dairy because of the fact that that was maybe not helping with his ear infections.
Right. I have seen that, excuse me, I've seen that quite a bit. When kids are having frequent ear infections, I say to lay off the dairy just temporarily. It's not a forever thing.
That's what you did, and that's what we did, too. We took him off dairy.
Yeah, and then their ear infections go away quite often.
Yeah, but isn't that nice to know? That's not that hard to do.
No, it's not, and you can replace it with soy and goat milk and a lot of other things. There's actually just as much calcium or more in some forms of soy milk. And I'm not against dairy because there's definitely people that don't have a reaction to it. But if a child is having a lot of ear infections, post-nasal drip, sore throat, sinusy kind of stuff, definitely stop the dairy. And actually, orange juice can do the same thing.
Really?
Orange juice can cause extra mucus production. Not necessarily ear infections, but when you have a lot of mucus production that's going down the throat, it can go up into the eustachian tubes, which go up into the ear.
Well, now, what I want to ask you, and I know that a lot of people think about this, and we've heard a lot on the news. So my child has a cough. And you run off to the drugstore and you buy cough syrup.
Yeah.
And now we're hearing, well, that's not a good thing to do. So what do you recommend for a child who has a cough? You know, it's not like a whole, because it's keeping them awake at night. Is there any natural remedy for that?
Well, one of the reasons why they're possibly having a cough is they have postnasal drip.
Right.
And kids, they have that going down the back of their throat. And we clear our throats. We're going, you know.
Right.
But they cough. And especially when they're having a cough at night, they're laying down, it's draining. And so you got to treat more the sinuses. You want to thin the mucus, and so it's going to be coming out a lot easier. There's a lot of really good natural, I guess, mucus thinning, mucinex.
Okay, well, it sounds like you want to take them off dairy if that's happening.
Yes, anything that's going to produce extra mucus, the dairy, the orange juice. Sometimes when kids are reacting to dairy, they can cross-react or they can have a reaction to soy as well.
Right.
So that needs to be watched. If they're switched to soy, they're still having a problem, then you might want to do something totally different. But when they're, the coughing, a lot of kids that have had a cold will continue to cough and cough and cough. Mm-hmm. You got to rule out that there's anything going on in their lungs.
Right, so it's important to bring them in.
Yeah, make sure that they're not having any asthma or bronchial problems or pneumonia. I mean, they would have other symptoms, but sometimes asthma can be mimicked with just a bad cough.
Really?
And so you listen to the lungs and you hear wheezing or the child is really short of breath when they're running, and those kind of things can maybe show early signs of asthma. And so that definitely needs to be ruled out. Extra vitamin C, and there's little vitamin C packets you can get for kids that or you can put in a drink, and they're really fizzy and yummy. Those kind of things can help decrease the inflammation that might be causing some mucus. And the coughing, you know, that's kids react more to that with coughing, especially at night.
Okay, well, that makes total sense. And are you in agreement with these cough syrups being dangerous?
I think that a lot of the over-the-counter cough syrups they have some things in them that just make the kids knock them out.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
There's a lot of actual herbal cough syrups or cough drops, homeopathic cough drops, cough syrups that work just as well, and they don't have that drug effect.
Well, right now, we all know we're into the flu cold season, and the kids, you know, it spreads like wildfire. They go to school, and they come home, and it seems like all winter long there's a runny nose. So, you know, what it sounds like, what really would be important is you bring your child in and get a workup done, see where they are, you know, find out if they are lacking in anything, even vitamin D.
Vitamin
and
D,
I know you were telling me how important important, we were talking about this as a tip, how important it is for small children to be getting 1 to 2,000, I guess it's a milligrams.
Or units.
Of vitamin D.
Yeah.
And they're not in these little vitamin tablets. They're not getting it.
Yeah.
So I think that that's really important to be aware of as well, is that we will go ahead and, you know, it's like, go get checked.
Exactly.
And see where they are. And maybe you can help prevent them getting all these colds and flus because their immune system is compromised because they're not getting enough of whatever it is they need.
Exactly. And it sounds like I've repeated myself a zillion times, is yes, vitamin D is important for kids, for their immune
right.
system and anti-inflammatory system.
Right.
And vitamin C is a great anti-inflammatory. But sometimes it can be some even more simple things, like they're not getting enough water. They're dehydrated. You can have headaches, be tired, have constipation, dry skin.
Just from not having enough water.
Exactly.
See, I mean, as simple as that. And so I guess I would say to listeners right now, they need to call you and make an appointment, bring their child in, get checked out, help prevent them going through another winter of misery. And it's hard on the family, too, as one of the child is sick all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it really is hard. And unfortunately, we get it as well. You know, and a lot of times, you know, it's like they get sick and then you're taking care of them and you get sick, you know. So thank you, Dr. Leah. This is a really important topic and I really appreciate you joining us and talking about it. So why don't you give out your phone number and all of the information. You are located in Bellevue, so easy to get to.
Yeah.
So let everybody know how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah. I'm in Bellevue at 425-452-9366. And my website is naturalmedicineforhealth.com. And I'm also on the Chat with Women website.
And what's really nice about what we're doing on the Chat with Women website is you can click on her picture and all these tips are on her page. So if you've missed any of the things that Dr. Leah has talked about over the last year, it's there. So you can, for free, you can go look at these tips and they've all been fabulous. So thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
All right,
stay warm.
Thanks.
Warm.
Okay.